Welcome to the Kingdom Cowboy Podcast. The equipping of God's people comes by teaching and imparting the principles of Christ's kingdom as they unfold through the Holy Spirit today. Our focus is to make the scriptures alive, simple, and easy to understand. Now here's your host, Andy Taylor.
Welcome to the Kingdom Cowboy Podcast. In the studio today with Gabe Edney. Gabe, we've been talking about the awakening. We talked about what is it, one, and the fact that it's actually here. It's actually happening right now. The church in America should be adjusting. It's no longer business as usual. People, especially leaders, church leaders, are buying into and are hearing this and getting confirmation from the Lord that there is an awakening happening in the land. Again, it's no longer business as usual. We need to make the adjustments to facilitate what it is that God is doing. That's going to be the challenge for the church.
I talked about in the last podcast, Andy, about submitting to the process, defining it to me a little bit. Before we move on, just summarize that just a little bit. And then I have another question right after that.
Yeah, submitting to the process. We're being conformed into the image of Jesus. That's what's happening. It seems to be more out in the open. It seems to be more direct, maybe from the Lord, because God has a plan and he's working his plan. And so it's a matter of us just paying attention to, you can do this. It's something that everybody is geared and made to do. And that's to start to pay attention on what is happening in your heart. What are you hearing from the Lord? Do a little inventory and try to figure out. Of course, you do have the benefit of the Holy Spirit helping you. Ask the Lord to show you what you need to do about this awakening. He'll tell you. I'm telling you, I've said he's in a talkative mood.
Let's just say I've submitted to the process. I'm a guy. I've walked in. I've talked to you. I've came to church, and mm-hmm. I'm in. I am submitting. I'm meditating. I'm doing the things that mm-hmm. I'm listening for the Lord. I'm sitting there spending time with him. What happens then? What happens, and what am I to look for? That I think that I believe that probably that Satan's going to come after me because I've submitted.
And I've said this a lot of times down through the years, especially more so the last 2 or 3 years. We're on the enemy's radar. We're on the radar, and now the body of Christ is about to be under the microscope because where things are happening, where the awakening is actually really happening, you got to believe that's where the enemy is going to focus his activity and his attack. And we've taught a lot around here about spiritual warfare. We're not ignorant of the enemy's devices, and we teach people that they have authority and those kind of things. But we're living in a time now, but that's not just useful information. That's just stuff that they're going to have to learn to do. You got to put your hand to the plow and learn how to do these things. But definitely, the enemy is, that's where he's going to focus his attention and his attack. He knows how to attack. But again, like Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Again, the only guarantee for us to not get swayed and not to be sucked in by the enemy's attack is to walk in the Spirit. And again, I keep saying this to people, listen, you can do this. You're geared to do this. You just got to train yourself to do it. It's not just on you. You have the benefit of the Holy Spirit helping you to do that. It's just paying attention to what God is doing in you individually. And if we'll do that, then what happens in the church will come naturally, and it will come to its fullness. I believe that this thing is big already, but it's going to be bigger again, depending on what the church does with it. And we talk a lot about the kingdom of God. That's going to be it's the Kingdom Cowboy Podcast. It's the gospel of the kingdom that the Bible talks about. It's not just the gospel that by grace we're saved through faith, that not of works, lest any man should boast. That's good news. The gospel just means good news, but it talks about the gospel of the kingdom. So leaders need to be pressing in and finding out the details. What is the gospel of the kingdom? And one of the things I've heard from the Lord pretty consistently over the last 9 months or a year is the kingdom is the new frontier. That's just out of the blue on one of my Wednesday morning prayer, corporate prayer times. Pressing in and asking the Lord, I keep getting stuff on that. But one is I believe this generation is set up to understand more about the kingdom of God and to see the kingdom of God manifest to a greater degree than any generation has seen before. The first church of Acts, I mean, the kingdom of God, 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 saved a few days later. And then it says that God added to the church daily those that should be saved. And another chapter or so over talks about the number of disciples was being multiplied. So we're living in that time. And to, again, to have spiritual eyes to see that and understand it, and then bring it back down to, Lord, what do I do? What do I do about how do I adjust? He'll tell you. He's free with that information. Again, he's doing a quick work in people who will submit to the process like we've talked about.
One thing that we talked about earlier in the other podcast last week is the you submitting and then something really big happening to you and possibly blowing up. There's so many ways to blow up these days. It's not just TV. It's social media. It's all kinds of different ways. Where does pride fall into this?
I mean, it's going to be at the forefront because I've said it forever, is that the people who are at greatest risk of pride are the people who are deepening in their relationship with the Lord, the ones that have made that the most important thing in our life. We communicate that and encourage that all the time. Your life is only going to go as good as the spiritual part of your life is going. So it should be up there as a high priority. When you do that, you had the enemy's attention because you got born again. He didn't want that to happen. But then when you start to make relationship and communion, and I'm not talking about the act of taking the bread and the wine, I'm talking about commune with God. When you start to commune, communicate, listen back and forth and start to interact with God, then you light up on the enemy's radar. And then when you get the focus on about what's really happening today, and I say the awakening is happening today, it's happening in the hearts of mankind, then you have become a threat to the forces of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is being threatened. And so the enemy, he doesn't have a lot of tricks, but he's really good at the tricks he has. And pride is the greatest one because all of us want to feel like we're doing good. All of us want we love the satisfaction. We love someone telling us, hey, that was a good job. That was a good message. That we love that kind of stuff. So we got to learn early on to deflect that right on to the Lord. And that's one of the safeguards is to when someone says, hey, that was a great message. You can thank the Lord for that, because if it was my message, it's not going to go very far. It's not going to change many hearts. So just a funny story. One of our worship leaders here 10 or 15 years ago, had a new song. He did it during the worship service that day. And it was Jason Wilhelm. Mm-hmm. He's a great son in the Lord and a great worship leader mm-hmm. for us here, and has started his own work, started the Lord's work. But anyway, I told him after church that one Sunday, I said, man, that's a great song. And he said, it's just God. And I said, well, wasn't that good? God's busy about working on our hearts. I've said that over and over again. I maybe over communicated that, but he's after your heart. If you're out there listening, he's after your heart. And if you just pay attention to what he's doing, he'll get your attention. If you'll give him a little time, you're going to soon give him a lot more time and get devoted to that kind of time together, just to listen to what God is saying. I've said it a lot of times too, is that the most important thing I'm doing right now is listening. I'm listening, and I don't have an agenda about where we go from here, depending on God to show me his agenda. And I think if we'll have that kind of desperation and that kind of hunger for the Word of God, and I'm not just talking about the Bible, I'm talking, well, God, what are you saying? What are you saying to me or my house? Well, personally for me, I need to do the same thing I'm encouraging you to do. I've been doing that, Gabe, and I'm opening the door of my heart. Lord, have at it. And I'm telling you, he'll take you serious at that. And so, again, I'm going through challenges, but I'm seeing God in those things. And I just thought about this morning. It's so simple. It's really so simple that sometimes we forget it. And a lot of people can quote this verse by heart, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen to what it says. This morning, I just locked on to it. It's listening to what it said, just meditated on it for 5 or 10 minutes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So that's a good plan for what's happening right now. And it's a word that speaks to everybody where they're at today. That's something that you can do, and that will get you on the path of being a functional contributor into this move of God, instead of someone who's sitting on the sidelines or someone who's just out there randomly looking around wondering which way did they go. As the body of Christ, we need to understand this could be our finest hour for the church. I believe it is. So we need to be paying attention, especially leaders, for what it is that God is saying. Go with His agenda, not ours, and then let Him work out the details. If it's up to Him, if we'll be so desperate to hear God's voice, He'll speak to us.
You talks about pride. You talk about, there's just something come to me as we were just talking about pride. Pride was something when your kids, your parents teaching you to be proud of something you did.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking of, if I would have taught my kids a different way, if I would have taught them directly that anything you've done that you're proud of, you give that mm-hmm. to the Father
mm-hmm.
because He gave you that ability to do yeah. that. Even if it's hitting a golf ball straight uh-huh. down the fairway. If it's,
I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. You know, they just need to open the fairways up a little bit bigger
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I think are just taught when you're young. The Lord just puts it in your spirit.
Uh-huh.
But now there's a fine line of when you're not taught that way and you just grow up and you're just like, I'm proud of my work that mm-hmm. I do, that mm-hmm. being able to help a business in my, yeah. in the line of work that I do in marketing and be able to help a business and they're
sure
they succeed. And it's easy for me to just go, man, I'm glad I was able to help. I was mm-hmm. able to do that.
Yeah.
Me. And that just feels like a natural pride of something, but I didn't do that.
People can get to that point, what you just said, and keep getting to that point. That wasn't me. That was the Lord. And so if people are applying the stuff we're talking about, learning to walk in the Spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit, they're going to see a lot of those kind of things happen. And as long as we can stay, just what you just said, as long as we can stay in that spot, that wasn't me. That was the Lord. And really, I know this. It's one of those things where if you do that and you point the compliments or whatever, if you point that immediately right onto the Lord, which is one of the safeguards for that, it feels better than if you were getting the credit for it yourself. So it's, pride is a really tricky thing. Make a kind of a joke about it, but it's really true. Spiritual pride, which is the worst kind of pride, is thinking something spiritually good that happened was all about us. But spiritual pride is like bad breath. Everybody knows you got it but you. And it's ugly. And it comes from knowledge. And nothing wrong with knowledge, but even the Bible gives a disclaimer about knowledge. Watch out now, because I'm paraphrasing here. Watch out, because knowledge puffs one up. It puffs you up, causes you to be prideful. Everybody can fill in the blanks here. It's not what you know. It's who you. That's what it is. So that's what it's about. So as long as we can keep pointing those things to the Lord and understand that we're at risk and understand that the risk is not just, the enemy knows. He really knows how to get to you with this whole pride thing. Those who think they can't be caught by pride are the first ones that'll get caught. The ones who say, the ones who can understand what we're talking about here and understand that I know that I'm at risk. I know I'm at risk for pride. God's doing stuff in our household, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that I'm at risk for pride. And I've told people around me, listen, if you see that, alert me immediately to that, because it's deceptive. It's like you said, we want to be told we did a good job. We like compliments. We like those kind of things. And you have to do it to get there to understand it, really. And that is, if you keep on passing that along, giving God the credit for that, one, He'll start doing more stuff in you because He can trust you with the miracles and the signs mm-hmm. and wonders and things. He'll do more in you than that. But it's one of those guarantees that you don't get caught and trapped by pride. And there's going to be a lot of people, if they're not going to be aware, there's going to be a lot of people trapped by pride. The Pharisees, here's the thing with the Pharisees, and they were prideful people. They loved to stand on the street corners praying those long prayers. When they fasted, they loved to have a long face and all that so that they would get the credit for it. And Jesus said in that, He said, don't be like the Pharisees, because when they do that, He said, if you're after people's approval, then that's your reward. But we got to understand that we're not after people's approval. I like the approval. Okay. We need to be approved and get our approval from the Father. And so God approves us. The things that's happening in your life right now, things that we talk about when we're on air, off air, whatever, the things that are happening in your life, obviously to me, are things that God is doing. So I've just learned to say thank you to God a lot. There's something to be said for that. But the Pharisees, they were the religious people of the day. And Jesus said, if your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know that he was talking so much about going to heaven, but the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God as it emerges in the earth, you're going to miss some of that if you've taken some of this credit for yourself. Back to John the Baptist quote, as Jesus increases. So what does that mean on a personal level? As the more you see God do in your life, as he increases, you must decrease. Your opinions, your men, all those things need to give way to the will of God in your life. And what God's doing as he conforms us into the image of Jesus, he's making you more like Jesus. He doesn't care if you look like Jesus. He doesn't care if you dress like Jesus. That'd look awkward today. But he does care that our hearts are like Jesus. And that's what's being conformed. That's what's being fixed. And he's fixing in this season, and he's doing it quick. He's fixing everything in us that's not like Jesus. And like I said before, if you open the doors of your heart and invite, Lord, have at my heart, fix the things that need to be fixed in me. He'll go to work on those things. I mean, he knows how to do it. And some of those things are really painful, but it leads to life. It leads to real spiritual life. And unless that happens, you're never going to be conformed into the image of Jesus, and the church is never going to be the church. So that's what's happening. That's how it's fleshing out.
What do I look for in this? So I submit to the process. I'm in. I'm deep. What do I look for in this in pride? What are some things that I be careful with?
If you'll just ask the Holy Spirit to point those things out to you, he's faithful to do that. He'll show you those things for you to pay attention to and things for you to work that he wants to work out in you. So that's really pretty. That's a pretty simple thing. Although what complicates it is people are not used to doing that. So you got to get used to doing that. You got to be serious about that. Put your hand to the plow. And when you do hear those things from the Holy Spirit, things that may need to be adjusted or tweaked or whatever, then by faith and the help of the Holy Spirit. I keep saying that when God touches your heart about some of these things, about something that needs to be changed. And we're talking about pride here. And that's a big one, I'm sure, on God's radar for us. But when you ask him to fix those things, he will go to work on those things. And again, some of those things it's painful. Some of them's painful. And I'm talking from experience here. And then when I'm going through something like this, I'll say something to the Lord. That's not really pride, is it? Lord, without the Lord saying anything, he just feel like you're getting that look like, oh, okay, then I get it. That is. So I can't go there. I can't allow that to take root in my life because, again, spiritual pride is really ugly. And so what happened with the Pharisees is, and Jesus said this will be a little bit controversial to people. And I tell people my book I'm writing on the Father, I've been writing on it for a while. But anyway, I say in some of the stuff I've written is, Jesus didn't say, I came to seek and save the lost. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. And what was lost to that generation, and somewhat in our own generation, what was lost to that generation was there was no relationship with God. They were doing the law. They were doing the law, and that caused them to be prideful and puffed up. And then their righteousness was basically self-righteousness. And again, no, they didn't keep the law. They just held it over everybody's else's head, and they weren't doing it themselves. Oh, they might be doing a little of it, but no man can keep the law. That's why Jesus came, and he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I come to fulfill it. He didn't mean that the law is supposed to still be in effect because grace took the place of the law. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And so what Jesus came to do, I said, Jesus didn't come to save the lost. He came to reveal the Father, to show the world who God was. And God is a Father. So he came to restore the relationship with God that Adam and Eve had in the garden before sin ever entered the picture. So we've been restored to that. We need to take full advantage of that and understand that, like when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Okay, pray like this. Our Father, engage in relationship with the Father, Jesus, the whole Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The whole pride thing, it's big. A lot of people are going to be swept into the whole pride thing. So we got to watch out. It's very deceptive. I'm not smart enough. And you're not smart enough. We're not smart enough to avoid it. We've got to have the help of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord.
Do you have people around you that help you too?
So, yeah.
Is that something good to do to be able to make
sure
and
go? Very good. In fact, I think we should have at least a small group, even if it's just one person around you that would just say, you know what, that smacks a little bit of pride there. You got to watch out for that. We can't feel so important, no matter how big God is using us. We can't get to feeling so important, which is pride. We can't get to feeling so important that we can't take a rebuke from someone that we know loves us. My Uncle Jack Taylor used to say it this way. You need someone in your life that can stop you dead in your tracks in something like that. So that's a very healthy thing. In fact, I had a thing posted on the social media this week that says something about, I don't have it in front of me, but if you can find a critic that can tell you the kind of things that they see, that loves you enough, that can tell you the truth, can tell you when you need to hear no. If you can find that person, I'll follow that person around, pay attention to what that person says. I actually married that person, so I have that going. That's a good thing, in a very good way.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some of you listening out there too married that person too. Pay attention. It's not always just criticism. It might be saving your life.
Pride before the fall.
Pride comes before the fall, yeah. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we need to, and the Bible encourages us to humble ourselves. It's easier to humble yourself than have the Lord humble you.
Oh, man.
Let's do it that way. Yeah, let's do it that way.
His ways are much bigger than ours. Yeah, I think about absolutely. This a lot because yeah. I think about what, I'll look at a situation and go, I just don't understand why that happened.
Yeah.
But then you just have to open it up and go, man, the Lord, just his ways are so much bigger.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how big they are.
And here's the thing that should undergird everything that we go through in life is that God loves us with a perfect love. And how he handles it, he disciplines those that he loves like a son. So you got to know that God, he loves us enough to discipline us when we need it. So we need to stay in a place where we can hear that, we can understand that, we can receive that. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can walk in it. So let's try to sum this podcast and two or three things that we want people to remember. One is we've started this thing off and talking about the awakening and pride. There's going to be a lot of that to deal with in what God is doing right now, because we're going to see God move in a greater way, maybe than any generation has ever seen him move before, in signs and wonders and salvations and addictions being broken and marriages put back together and all those kind of things that are happening. They're all happening right now. The kingdom is coming right now. So that's one thing. The second thing is that if you are skilled in spiritual warfare, get skilled some more. If you're not skilled in spiritual warfare, learn some stuff about it. There's a lot of good teaching out there on spiritual warfare. And understand that the enemy wants to distract you and wants to knock you off center, knock you off the plumb line. And the other thing is that to not forget, and let's just stop with this one. They need to remember this. You're at risk. Gabe, you're at risk. I'm at risk for pride. It will kill the move of God in your life or in a church quicker than any other thing.
We had a good podcast today. It did go a little bit longer than we usually do, but it's so good to be able to hear just things to look for, because a lot of times I'd say regular preachers and regular people, they just tell you what direction to go, but not what to look for, some things that are going to happen. And so today was a really good day, and I'd like to talk more about the spiritual warfare. I know that is constantly going on. I don't understand, and I'm sure you don't understand every piece of it, mm-hmm. but
sure.
I think there's some ways to get involved and get in the game. And
absolutely.
So I think that's one thing I think we'd like to talk about next podcast is getting in the game.
That's good. Let's do that.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing here, tell your family and friends to download the podcast, The Kingdom Cowboy, on your preferred platform. If you want to know more about The Kingdom Cowboy, Andy Taylor, go to andyrtaylor.com. For Gabe Edney, Andy Taylor, we'll catch you on the next go.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Kingdom Cowboy podcast, where we give a money-back guarantee. You'll be better when you leave than when you arrived. That's the outcome of listening to God's living word for this hour. Remember to subscribe to this podcast. If you would like to contact Andy with your questions or comments, you can do so at andyrtaylor.com.